Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Amen. Can we lift our hands to heaven and give Lord praise for his word that we have received, the clarity of his word. Father, we bless your holy name. We give you praise. We thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated in a moment. Amen. Again, standing on all existing protocol, I want to celebrate my spiritual father. Thank you, Papa, for the privilege to bring God's word. And I want to celebrate, Pastor. Thank you. So good to see you, sir. Amen. I believe that most of the burdens I came with to this conference, Pastor Tony has helped lift many of them. And please, let's celebrate Pastor Tony. And I stand to celebrate every minister of God here. And again, my hotspot, my wife is here. So, so when the network is strong, it's because the hotspot is closed. Ask your neighbor, where is your hotspot? Okay. Amen. So this morning, what I'm going to be doing is going to be a lot different from what I did yesterday. I'm going to be a lot systematic and just be calling out things. Building capacities for the peculiarity of end time ministry. Building capacities, I use the word capacity in plural, because we need multifaceted approach to really counter the evil or the intentions of the devil for end time, particularly in these last days. And so I'm going to just be doing a lot of readings from here and expatiate where I need to. First, let's check Isaiah chapter number 60 from verse 1. Isaiah 60 from verse 1. We're going to read from verse 1 to 2. Isaiah 60 from verse 1 to 2. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Yes, verse 2 now. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. The word darkness, when darkness was described, it was described using a futuristic language. That is, a season will come that there's going to be more visible activity of darkness. And if we compare that with what Joel said, in Joel chapter number 2 from verse 1 to 2, we're going to understand the season in particular. Joel 2 says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land. So blow the trumpet there is talking about the raise a sound of alarm. Paul, speaking to Corinthians, said, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, how shall men prepare for battle? So it is a very, very specific sound. Let me give you this illustration. Jesus giving the parable of the virgins in Matthew 25. Describe the 10 virgins. But one of the humbling thing about this description was that whether you were wise or foolish, at certain point they all slept. You see that? So the fact that lukewarmness will come unless there are men who knows the sound. Whether to those who are wise or to those who are foolish, unless there are trumpeters, everybody will fall asleep. So it says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Yes, verse 2 now. Says what? A day of darkness and what? Gloominess. But you know the beautiful thing, in the midst of that darkness, in the midst of all that seems like the devil might be doing things, yet the army of God will still emerge. Amen. Who is excited about that? Now, quickly let me say this, as I start teaching this morning. One of the ways I need you to respond is that you must respond correctly. Amen? If you are blessed, listen. It is religion to be blessed and be quiet. When you go to the club, you will never see them quiet. When they play a new song, they rejoice. So rejoice this morning. Because, listen, the reason why I'm saying that is that a preacher can stand and be wondering, am I saying something wrong? Amen. So, the peculiarity of the last days described hours of darkness. So it means if God has sent you forth in season like this, you must understand how to shine light in the midst of darkness. Amen. I said amen. Anyone who is doing ministry in the last days is doing ministry at a time that the devil knows that his time is short. And we must also understand how to compress time. That is, we must understand what we can do with few steps and cover more distance. Hard work is not necessarily smart work. You can work so hard about certain things and yet you are not smart. So it means that we need a lot of light for strategic advancement. Now look up. When you see, look at the war between Russia and Ukraine. I have taken my time, and one of the things I read so much is that I read materials on war. Anyone I find, I take time to read. And I found out that soldiers don't fight and win battles by just trying to shoot other soldiers. No. What they do is strategic advancement. First, they look for supply, line of supply. Who are those who are bringing in ammunition? Who are those who are bringing in food? If you can break down those supplies, you will defeat those guys. How did Nigeria win Biafra during the war? Awolowo gave the counsel. He said, you can't be fighting people and feeding them. Lay a siege on them. Are you seeing that if we keep doing the things we are doing, unless helped by the wisdom of God, we will expand so much energy, but yet the result will be small. So we need ministers and ministries that understand how to eat the devil where it really hurts. And that's what we're going to be doing this morning. Now, I want to quickly show us a few peculiarities about end time ministries or about this end time season. My observation about the body of Christ in this season, so that we can understand now what we must do as individuals. And by yourself, you can begin to write out the areas you must build capacity. Now, one of the first things I want to show you as one of the peculiarities about end time ministry is that it is a time that darkness is greatly felt. So, if you are doing ministry in the end time, you are doing ministry at a season that we are seeing a level of darkness we have never seen the type before. So it means if you are doing simple teaching, it is not going to be as simple as you do, as you think. You know why? Because the devil has built counter structure as against what you want to teach. Let me give you an instance. If you are going to deal with the subject of giving, you are interacting with people who have seen it several times on media, that when pastors talk about giving, the pastors are thieves. So are you seeing that teaching now will not just be reeling out words, but breaking down strongholds? Teaching now is not just passing information, but warfare. An average person sitting in church has been taught against what you are saying. So you need not just words in clarity. We bless God for words in clarity. But you also need prayer power that fastens the word to their heart. I was teaching somewhere and I saw a young guy stood and he was staring at me with anger. I was confused. I mean, people are under the anointing and here you are standing with anger. What's this? And from experience, I've had quite a couple of experiences. I've seen people enter where I was teaching with ammunitions and all that. So I had to go meet him. What's your problem, sir? So he said, he doesn't believe in God. If that's it, let's, after this meeting, you can keep your anger. So let's talk over a lunch. You see, so he was in that meeting, but yet he had everything wrong with God. That's the kind of people we are dealing with now. And it means those who do ministry now cannot be naive. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody did a song recently. And the title of the song is Cuckoo Do Ritual. If you are hearing that for the first time, wave your hand. See. Maybe you are in a wrong generation. Let me tell you this. If you are going to do it well in this generation, sincerely, I'm not saying go and do what they are doing. but you must know what they are open to. If not, you'll be talking, these guys will just be looking at you and smiling, that this guy does not understand our reality. And when people see that you don't understand their reality, they shut down on you. Let me leave that there. Are you following what I'm saying? Say amen if you are following me. You need to understand the peculiarity of the generation you are really dealing with. And when I saw the title of that song, Cuckoo Do Ritual, I went on YouTube and I listened to it. My wife said, you have started again. I said, let me hear this song so I can know what we are going to face out there. You see, I'm still going to tell you about some few things we have faced. So you are doing ministry at a time that the devil is sowing dangerous seed, and the seeds they are sown in the past, you are in the season of the maturity of those seeds. So you need a lot of divine intelligence. Number two. So I'm going to be showing you both the bad and the good, particularly for the body of Christ. You are doing ministry at a time that the move of God is most strongly felt in the history of humanity. The move of God is the strongest we have felt it. And somebody said, what about the days of Catherine Kuhlman? Please, if you sit down, when you study history, study it holistically. Okay? Many of those times, things were happening in Europe, in America, but Africa was dark. Some other continent, Asia, and all the likes were in dark places. But now we see that the light of the gospel has touched almost every nation for a witness. So it also means that in this season, because the coming of Jesus is so close, there is a release of supplies to the church. Hence, massive church growth and speed. So almost anybody you are seeing at such a time like this is doing something. That's one of our peculiarities. So it means that if you are doing ministry at such a time as this and you are not secure in your divine placement, you will lose it. Because almost anyone seems to be making some, you know, moves, and this fellow is doing this fellow. Are you following what I'm saying? Such that the things you are still waiting and trusting God for 2 years, somebody will start it in 2 weeks and finish it. So more than ever before, you need to understand not just your placement, but also your timing. God makes all things beautiful in its time and season. Listen, speed is not always a good news. It matters the structures on ground. I remember, and that's why I believe that one of the things that God will help us on in this generation is approach, or let me say, understanding of spiritual fathering. And I have an understanding from experience, because I know I would have been lost many times over. When our ministry started, in fact, there would have been nothing called Sphere of Light Church if God did not bring me to this house. Because already in my heart I've said, yes, I will do ministry, but you see this church name, never. So I told those in our ministry that if we ever become a church, leave. So some of them left. And they said, you were the one that told us. You see, don't put full stop where God is putting the comma. Just understand these things and stop where you are stopped. This is ministry for now. We don't know what God will do tomorrow. And you are not a fool for saying that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now I'm showing you, but this is it. I remember, maybe 6 months after our church started, I was praying, honestly. You see this thing there. Say, I heard it in the place of prayer. You can still fall into trouble. I was praying and fasting when I heard clearly that it's time to start a new church in Ghana. I don't know if Papa remember, I was so convinced that I think God is saying Ghana. I went to meet him. He said, ministry does not start in places, it starts in people. I can never forget that statement. He said, so do you have people in Ghana? I said, actually, you know, I was in Ghana for a while. I said, it can be God. And if we had made that move, we would not be where we are. So sometimes, there is something called the voice of the environment. That while people are doing, everybody is doing something, you may clearly hear that it's time for you to do the same thing also. And it may not be God. And that might be his name. Amen. Are you following what I'm teaching? Number what now? Number three. One of the peculiarities of end time or end time ministry. Is that we are in a season of convergence of different streams of the move of God. The apostolic, the prophetic, the pastoral, the evangelistic, and all that. Though, one of the theological realities of, you know, the end time is that the apostolic ministry opened the age, the apostolic will close it. So whether you are called an apostle or not, many people will function in that capacity. Because God is going to converge many things. So it all still boils down to the subject of clarity. You must be clear. Amen. You must be clear. You must be clear. One of the ways to be truly lost in ministry is to do ministry by calculation. Having seen many things, there's going to be strong need to now go back and wait upon the Lord for Him to first detoxify your mind. Then His words can be clear. So are you seeing that for that to happen, the length of waiting will be longer than usual? I love what one of my friends says. He said the purpose of long prayer is not so God can hear us, but so we can hear Him. And hear Him well. So we're in a season that there are different streams and different flow of the move of God. It is important that you locate your own stream. It may not be popular, but please stay there. You see, when there was strong, the healing revival movement in America, we had, people like Jack Cole, we have, Oral Robot, we have many people. And what you must understand is that some of these guys, though some are the tail end of some guys functioning, but around the same time, they were all there. But there was this man called Egan, who was not a reference point, who probably was not even the minister, the favorite minister for most conferences. But there was the hand of God upon his life as a man that will preserve the essence of all those Russians. So there are people that a lot of things may not begin to happen in your life and ministry first. But yet, the grace of preservation is upon that man. Before God will say, hear ye him, don't leave what you are doing. It is a man that stays with what he's doing that God can say should hear. A generation is coming that will understand the value of those waitings. You see, let me share this with you. There was a year in my life, and when I teach with honesty. I don't know how to lie or hide things. That for 2 years, God said, you are not going to go for service. Wait on me till I show you the map of the next thing. And I was teaching in a primary school. I was teaching primary 5. I felt like my life was going to end. From there, I was not convenient. I started a pure mathematics tutorial for students. I go to schools and share my flyer. Come, let's do pure mathematics tutorial. I started a jam class, a YA class for students. I was not satisfied. Then I opened a fast food. My wife said, it's not eatery, what you open? It was an Indomie joint by the roadside. God saw that my whole stress was too much. He said, close everything down and wait on me. That waiting took 2 years, primarily. And, you know, in such season, you are learning so many things. But yet, nobody is calling you for any meeting. It can be a lot frustrating. And I'm telling you, waiting is not easy. You are learning. So I will wake up in the morning. I will dress, wear my tie, and carry my briefcase like I'm going to work. And I will go to the orphanage home. They have a room for me there for prayer. I will stay there. That's where I will be from morning till 6 p.m. And when I saw the release for service, I went for service. And after service, I was so glad because a job opportunity opened. And God said to me, leave this city and go back to Ife. My father called me and said, it's time for you to go to UK. God said, not UK, Ife. My father said, if you are not going to UK, consider yourself not to be my son. And the relationship between us went on sabbatical. He didn't call me. If I call him, he won't pick. And we never spoke as father and son for a year plus. And I will stay in the room. Funny enough, when I came back to Ife, there was no money to even rent an apartment. So I had to go and scout with one of my spiritual sons. And from there, I went to Fudge to scout. I was scouting in Fudge for a year plus. Yeah. And I will wake up in the morning and see people pack their things and go into their different lectures and walks. And I will hold the window and shout, God, give me this break now. What nonsense is this? I'm not a lazy man. Lose me and let me go. But listen, in a moment like that where it looks like God is busy doing many things in many lives except yours, what he's doing is that he's taking you deep so he can launch you far. Don't run out of the process. It can be very, I'm telling you this with all honesty. I will see people share flyer and share flyers, invitation. I'm like, God called us too now. What's happening? God called us. Is it where God called these guys? But listen, whether you prepare or not, your time will come. I'm just telling you. But the essence of preparation is that you will maximize the essence of the new season coming. Are you following what I'm saying here? So different things are happening at different times, but please understand your unique placement and where God is placing you for your generation. Number four, now if I'm correct, you are also doing ministry at such a time that perversion is at its peak and seeking to creep into the church, and there are systems empowering it to be so. Perversion is growing. If you are following what is happening in America in different states, you will see that there is a mass removal of Bibles from schools and hotels. And I watched the interview of one man defend it and say, what is contained in the Bible is hate speech. And you see, you are in a time that ministries are now, individuals are considering scriptures as offensive. So if God is sending you at this season to America, to Australia, to Canada, to UK, it is not a place for more comfort. It is the battlefront. Though it's a lot comfortable, more than this place. So let me just balance that. Amen. I believe many of us, if you have your way, you will also, they meet me in America. Amen. All right. So it means in this season, we must raise believers who understand the tenet of scriptures and will not compromise. It must not just be what pastors know, but pastors must equip the church to run with the same revelation. Amen? Am I clear enough? Are you aware that now if you mention Jesus on CNN, they will bleep you out? In fact, I've seen several cases where they were interviewing several people from athletes to entertainers, and they were asking about the secret of their success, and they mentioned Jesus. They will cut the connection and say, oh, with the land, we lost it. And this is not Nigeria. This is, and they say, we lost the individual. And you can see so much hatred towards Jesus. You cannot just be churchy now. You must also be systemic. So what must we do as ministers and ministries at such a time as this? Number one, we need to be given to much prayer and then much intercession, both for our ministries and for nations. I've seen that God rarely uses you to solve problems you are not praying about. One of the signs that it is the direction of your calling is that there is a burden and there is a pain in that direction. Are you seeing that now? And that pain will first inform the strength in the place of prayer and intercession. So we must be given to prayers. Ministers must pray. If not, the floods of this season can carry anybody away. Please pray. Please pray. You see, real ministry is not measured by what happens on the altar. Real ministry is measured by the priesthood. Our ability to stay in our priesthood duties. The altar is a reflection of whatever goes on there. And sometimes the pulpit does not even accurately convey it. Are you following what I'm saying now? Some people are more shallow than they sound. And some are more deeper than they sound. Whatever one will be your reality will be a function of how well you take prayer serious. Number two. I'm showing you what we must do now. Or probably you can say areas we need to build capacity. We need to be given to the word now more than ever before. We need to be given to the word more than ever before, both as ministers and as ministries. Now, please look up. See, the reality of ministry has changed. Now, I'm not saying it is changing. You are speaking, if you are a pastor now or you are running a ministry, you are speaking to people who are hearing at least 10 to 12 ministers. And some of them are deeper in that consciousness. Are you following what I'm saying? Let me share this with you. When I was serving, I was attending a church. And in all honesty, I just noticed that every time I go to church, I'm fighting sleep. I'm not a carnal person. What's happening? I have to stand and walk around with the usher and I'm fighting sleep. But one time I looked around and I found out that it was not just me. Many people were sleeping. I said, this cannot continue. You see, so I said I need to join a department. So I joined a department in church. I joined the media department. And we have a media room upstairs. And I found out that everybody in the media department, they are setting sound for the church, but they are live streaming another service. Meaning that they were in that church, but they were actually live streaming another service where they were really now being blessed. And I said, what is this? You will see them plugged with their earphones. This one is watching so and so ministries. See, new ministries are emerging. Somebody says, this is our ministry. God has kept covenant with us that we are going to keep growing till Jesus comes. Yes. Peradventure, the ministry is truly a gift to the people. We have seen across scriptures that God also changes his mind. Listen, don't just receive prophecies, understand how to partner with it. God moves on. Okay. And the reality is that people are shifting. I won't go further than that. Alright? I saw people were in church, but they were following other ministries. I had to leave that department also and go to join teenagers department. I just want some that my heart will be preserved. Amen. So we need to be given to the word, and we need to work in the understanding that the pulpit is not a place for sharing personal opinions. It is a place to accurately divide the word. 2015, 2016, we all saw what happened in Nigeria, how that young people rose up and began to say this. All right, while there is a bad side of that, there is also a good side. It will make pastors adjust. That an average believer you are teaching now knows the Bible. And if you are saying rubbish, honestly, they know. And they will just smile and say, talk. That's the level of everything of our pastor. But we are here by faithfulness and loyalty, but it's just a matter of time before you see. Let's leave that. Number three now, what we must do in this season. This one, we must understand that more than ever before, we need financial strength. And I wrote a few things here. I'm just going to read it out. Do not be sentimental about finance. Even the ministry of Jesus had strong financial backing. Are you aware? The Bible described powerful women. Some of the wives of the governors were partners with him in ministry. And let me say this to you. I've seen people ask, how do we build? One of the core areas that I love to teach ministers on is how to build strong finance. But I've always told ministers that strong finance follows after strong impact. People who are not truly blessed may not truly give. I saw something yesterday by Reverend Sam Adeyemi, and was saying at some point he was praying that the church will grow, and God said to him that I understand that you are saying the church should grow because you know that the bigger the church, the more comfortable the pastor is. And that touched me. He said, I am not bringing the people for the pastor. I'm raising the ministry for the people. So focus on making them successful and the church will be blessed. Let me share this with you. And this is a very, very serious one. And I'm just being open. One time, because if anybody who works with me directly may almost get confused. Yeah, because sometimes I can even frown at good things. And you wonder, this is not good enough. One time I sat down in church and everybody sharing testimonies. I will see people come forward and share testimony, and this one is sharing testimony that, thank God, I came to Ibadan, I was stranded, but God gave me somebody who came to bail me out. I was caught in here. This one will say I was broke, and then God raised somebody and sent me 5,000. God, I will sit down there, and I will say, yes, these are testimonies, but they are testifying of good things, of two things. Number one, they are testifying of the fact that God is showing up for his people. Number two, they are testifying of the fact that we are not fine. I said, if we keep having people who are testifying, somebody sent me 5,000, somebody, when will we take kingdoms? Now answer me now. You are looking on me. Oh, you are angry at that. When will we take kingdoms? It means we are going to have wimps. So I knew there's a problem. I met one of my boys, walking as a sanitation. I met him at the door of sanitation, toilet. He was walking there as a sanitation member. I said, "Oh boy, Alpha, what do you do?" He said, "Nothing." "Ah, what did you study?" He said, "This is okay. What can you do?" He said, "I've not learned any skill." "Ah, if we're going to empower you now, what can," he said, "he doesn't know." Are you following what I'm saying? See, it took deliberate and very, very painful measures at the risk of being misunderstood to push people out of their comfort zone. Because, see, in the last days, the church is not measured by sitting capacity, but by sending capacity. Who can go for us? Not who is sitting down. Now it looks like you are lost. Do you understand what I'm teaching? If not, it is just a matter of time before one day government will bring one policy and send all of us away. Because we have not raised strong people. And we must understand that the church needs strong finance. We really do. Have you seen that when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and it took a secret disciple called Joseph of Arimathea to build the body down? With all the head knowledge Peter had, he was useless at that point. And again, the body of Christ is still lying down. We need people who have means to lift her up. And God will bring us that in the name of Jesus. Now let me begin, let me close up as I round this up. Let me just read out a few facts. I was in Abuja last week, and I found out that they are not selling any landed properties to any church in this same country. They don't sell land to churches. They will tell you, we don't have provision of land for churches. However, mosques are buying churches, are buying lands. I saw something in the United Kingdom of a mosque that bought a church, and they were so excited and happy in it. One of the emphases that must be strong in these days and time is emphasis of the kingdom, not just the success of our own ministries. That is, if I succeed and you fail, I have not succeeded. Because alone I can be brought down, but together we'll stand. Are you following what I'm saying here? And these are emphases that we must build capacity in order for us to reclaim, all right, and do ministry well. You can write down Micah chapter number 4, verse 1. Micah 4:1. Let's read that scripture on our feet as I close my teaching. Micah 4:1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain. Can we read this together? Let's stand on our feet as we read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. It shall come to pass in the last days that mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow to it. Let's lift our hands and say, Father, our eyes are open in this season to do ministry in the most relevant and strategic way possible. Anything you need to bulldoze in my mind and approach, Father, do so now. You have 10 seconds to pray that prayer. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Father, we ask again that we receive revelation of your word and light. That every one of us will be strategically aligned with your correct intention and bulldoze the kingdom of darkness. It is done. In Jesus' mighty name.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME. To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.